Welcome to Long-Term Care Radio with Brian Ott. Spend this hour with us learning how you can protect the people you love from the financial, physical, and emotional consequences of an extended healthcare situation. Because of new state and federal laws, there are new and exciting long-term care planning options available. As a certified long-term care planning specialist, Brian Ott will help you make sense of your options. Now, here's your host of Long-Term Care Radio, Brian Ott.
You know, I got a question last week from a listener who's listening to our podcast, and they sent me an email, and they said, how do you determine the right long-term care plan for your clients? And I thought, you know, this is really a great question. And they were referring really to how do we choose the plan and the company. I ended up talking to this listener, and we're going to discuss that today because this is something I think that everybody really needs to consider when they're choosing a long-term care plan is what questions do we ask? What do we need to consider? What do we need to look at? And first off, I want to go back in time a little bit, go back in history and look at how long-term care insurance basically was developed and how it was originally sold. So we've got to go back to the 70s when it was really just nursing home insurance. And really it was kind of the wild, wild west. The insurance companies saw this need to help people at end of life stage, basically, which was usually taking place in a nursing home. And that cost was expensive. And so they started dabbling with looking at how to come up with an insurance to do that. And they were modeling it a little bit after disability insurance and some health insurance and hospital insurance and different things like that. Well, the first plan started coming out in 74, but it was really in the 1990s when we started seeing real growth and competition, which gave consumers multiple choices for long-term care insurance. Now, what drove this wave of new products in the 90s was the realization that there would be a great need for this product as we had this wave of baby boomers that was going to age through the system. And we also had the National Association of Insurance Commissioners step in and start passing rules and legislation, which brought some conformity to the requirements for the product. So this just made it easier to design a long-term care insurance plan because now we had some rules and some guidelines to follow where before the original companies were trying to kind of figure it out on their own. They weren't really sure what was long-term care, how it was defined. And so all of that got cleared up when the NAIC got involved. And really, when you think back about it, you know, life insurance is pretty easy. You die, you get a check. Disability insurance, well, you couldn't work for X amount of days, then you got your some kind of money paid to you. And so long-term care was trying to figure out this solution. And so when the NAIC came in and set some rules and guidelines, that just made it easier for companies to develop policies and meet those criteria because they knew what they were trying to solve. Now, businesses were also able to deduct long-term care insurance. That came out back in the 90s when they said, hey, guess what? Now we're going to treat this like health insurance in the sense that a business can deduct the cost of the premiums. So that really drove a lot of insurance companies to start looking at long-term care and say, you know what? Let's figure out how to go out and get a piece of this pie. And they started offering products. And so, again, in the mid to late 1990s, we had well over 120 companies that offered long-term care insurance. And I will tell you, the vast majority of those, 99% of them are what we call the traditional pay-as-you-go plans. That's what was really evolved. Like back in the late 80s, we had 89, 90, we started seeing the first asset-based plans, but there were only a couple carriers out there that did this. So when I got my insurance license and became certified to sell long-term care insurance, the overwhelming majority of long-term care insurance that was sold was traditional pay-as-you-go plans. And one of the tactics to selling these policies was to put in the criteria that you wanted into a software program and then run side-by-side quotes, and the lowest cost plan with the same amount of benefits was the winner. And I'm telling you, that's what a lot of agents did, and that's what a lot of consumers expected, and that's how they made their decision to go with a particular company. So you might want to say $5,000 a month benefit that would last you a minimum of 4 years, and you say, I want a 3% inflation rider on that so that benefit grows over time. You'd plug that criteria into the software. It would spreadsheet it. It would come out, and it would give you six options that you could just compare side by side. And you could just literally go through all the companies and do that. And think about this strategy for a minute. I mean, what could possibly go wrong? You know, well, actually quite a bit. I mean, think about anything else that we buy just based on the lowest price, whether it's a dishwasher, a plane ticket. You know, say you wanted a four-door car that gets at least 25 miles to the gallon, so you could plug that into a software and it spit out the lowest price vehicle. Does that make that the best choice for you? Probably not. I mean, you could imagine that, yeah, maybe this one's the cheapest car, but turns out they don't have any dealers in America and they don't have any service centers. So if the car breaks down or it needs a part, you've got to go track that down yourself or go to a, you know, a local mechanic. I mean, there's all kinds of things that can go wrong. And long-term care insurance is a lot the same way. I mean, I have a saying that long-term care insurance is only important when you need it. And when you need it, you want it to work the way it's supposed to. You want it to do what it's supposed to do, and you want it to make your life as easy as possible for you and your loved ones. Now, at the peak of the traditional plans coming out, many carriers were rushing into the market to grab a share of this business, and they were designing what they felt were competitive products. But behind the scenes, they had no service centers. They had no claim supports for their products, meaning that if you went on claim, you take the policy out today and you went out and you got hit by the bus tomorrow and now you're in a long-term care situation, a lot of the companies didn't even have somebody to actually handle that claim. And this was something that, you know, they were going to develop, but they weren't expecting a lot of claims early on. They thought, well, we'll get this long-term care insurance in place today and start worrying about claims down the road because it's, you know, hopefully it's going to be a long time before people actually need this. And so there's been a lot of problems with that. And believe it or not, today, 2022, we still have companies out there who sell long-term care insurance that don't have a claims department. They use a third-party vendor. And this is something that a lot of advisors won't ever ask. And it's one of those things, what do you consider when you're getting a long-term care plan? It's like, number one, it's like, I want this policy. What happens when I go on claim? Are they going to pass me off to a third-party vendor? Is that who's going to handle it? Or does the company actually have a dedicated trained staff to handle those claims when I go on claim? Because if you have a third-party system, and we've run into this before, you know, it's going to create delays. It's going to make the claims process a lot more difficult than it needs to be. And again, the insurance is only important when you need it. So in my opinion, how a company handles the claim, how it handles your call when you reach out to them is very important. It's something that you need to be, you know, considering when you put a plan in place. Now, one thing that really surprised me when I got into this business was even the, you know, how the agents that sold long-term care insurance were really just willing to just put these up side by side and say, okay, here's the lowest price for the benefit that you want. Let's submit an application to that company. And I'll tell you, I started looking into long-term care insurance back in 2006 when my father had passed away in an accident, and I was trying to figure out how to get a policy put in place for my mom, and I got so frustrated that I literally went back to school, got my license, became certified in long-term care insurance, got to work for an insurance company, and actually the very first client that I ever placed a long-term care insurance policy with was my mother. And I'll tell you what, that, you know, people look at this data and they sit there and a lot of insurance for us, it's just, you know, it's a stack of papers, it's something we throw in the safe deposit box, and we just don't think we're going to need it. But statistically, when we look at long-term care insurance, you got to realize that 7 out of 10 people are going to trigger a claim after age 65. So the odds are really stacked against us. And the odds are if we have long-term care insurance, we will use it. If you're a married couple out there, between the two of you, there's a 92% chance that you will use that insurance. Now, for a lot of us, if you haven't lived through a house fire or a claim on your property, a lot of us don't have a lot of experience with that. We think, well, we got to pay it in case the house burns down, but we're really not planning on using that. And I look at long-term care through a totally different lens. I've been doing this a long time, and we help our clients. We help our clients turn those claims on, and I know the importance of that insurance when it comes time to using that. And so a lot of companies just literally, when they first came out, they were designing these products. They thought they were competitive. They were just really competing with each other against price. And they didn't put a lot of thought into how is that policy going to actually work when that person needs it. And so those are the things that I learned firsthand when I got into this business, because I was out there looking for policies. I'd go out there. I'd get the quotes. I'd go home. I'd do the study. I'd do the research. I'd look at these companies. And guess what? A lot of these companies were all hat and no cattle, meaning they promised a lot, but they just didn't really have the support in the background to really treat their clients the way they said that they could. So today we're gonna spend some time talking about some of the things that you need to consider on how you decide what company is a good company and how you decide to put a particular plan in place. I need to take a quick break first, but when we come back, we'll continue that discussion. So stick around. I'll be right back.
Avoid the mistake of paying unnecessary taxes, guarantee the quality of your care, and preserve your legacy and wealth by setting up your own tax-free long-term care plan. Learn more by attending Brian's free live webinar class. Sign up now at 525longtermcare.com.
The issue of long-term care is so important. A lot of states like Washington are seeking to pass laws requiring payroll deductions to fund it. But the reality is the state's solution is simply a drop in the bucket that will not provide meaningful protection for you or your family. 525 Advisors can provide meaningful coverage through new plans with guaranteed leverage that turn every dollar into at least $3 of long-term care coverage tax-free. And you get your money back if you never use it, just like the custom plan my wife and I got. Join Brian Ott from 525 Advisors for an upcoming free live webinar. Learn how repositioning some of your savings is a secure way to triple your money today to pay for the high cost of long-term care. Like the state, we agree long-term care is a serious issue, but don't settle for the government's flawed plan. Learn your own options. Attend an upcoming 525 Advisors free live webinar. For the schedule, go to 525longtermcare.com. That's 525longtermcare.com.
Hi, this is Brian Ott with 525 Advisors. Over the years, I've had the opportunity to protect many people and their families with long-term care planning. However, I've also seen how long-term care events devastate families and turn the last years for the family into their worst years. Many people believe the downside from a long-term care situation is limited to financial loss. Yet often, it's the emotional damage that lingers and hurts the family members the most. Watching a loved one go through their savings is one thing, but watching a loved one lose their dignity is far worse. Long-term care insurance provides a dedicated source of funds to help pay for your care when you need it. But more importantly, it provides you with a team of trained professionals that will help you and your family manage your care. Learn how you can stay in control of your care options, maintain your dignity, and protect the people you care about most by attending one of our upcoming live webinars. Sign up today at 525longtermcare.com. That's 525longtermcare.com.
This is Long-Term Care Radio with Brian Ott. Listen and learn information from a certified long-term care planning specialist. You can email your questions to radio@525advisors.com.
All right, and welcome back in. Thanks for tuning in to Long-Term Care Radio and the Long-Term Care Radio podcast. You have to bear with me. I'm still trying to get over this little cough that I've got going on. Everybody in the family got COVID last week. Well, my daughter didn't, but it's been a couple weeks now, and I still got this little cough. So bear with me, but we'll get through the program here today. You did hear the ads. We have a couple classes coming up next month. So this show is scheduled to be out on the air in the last Saturday of October. We're rolling into November. We've got a class coming up on Saturday the 12th and another class coming up on the 17th. Again, those are live classes. They're both the same. So you're not going to miss out on anything. You don't have to go to consecutive classes. It's just the idea is we give some different time slots in there. So Saturday morning or Thursday afternoon, the 17th, and you can get that information at 525longtermcare.com. That's just where you go and you sign up, and we will send you a link, and that's all you need, just that link, and you click on, and you can join us when you're ready. So if you just joined us, we got a question from a listener who wanted to know how you choose the right long-term care plan. And again, the number of companies who offered long-term care insurance peaked back in the 1990s, and we were well over 120 of them. All but two of those plans were what we call just traditional pay-as-you-go plans. Otherwise, you set up a plan, you pay a premium until you go on claim. We did have some 10-pay and some 20-pay options back in the day back then, so a lot of people were able to, you know, get a policy paid up in 10 years. But as a general rule, the vast majority of those plans being offered were just traditional plans, meaning there was no other value in that plan. Today, we have about 20 companies who offer long-term care insurance. So if we look at the numbers, 120 versus 20, you're like, holy cow, that's a big difference. But remember, about out of that 20 or so that offer them, fewer than 10 of them are traditional. The rest of them are going to be these new asset-based plans or hybrid plans, these plans that are going to pay us back whether we use them or not. That means we have different things to consider today when we're looking at long-term care planning than we did 30 years ago. And this is something where we really have to start. The list of items to consider when designing a plan can seem, you know, daunting at first. But this is why you want to work with a qualified advisor. Number one, anybody that sells long-term care insurance is going to have an insurance license, but they're also going to have a separate certification to sell long-term care insurance, meaning that the guy that's qualified to sell life insurance cannot legally sell long-term care insurance unless he's gone and earned that certification in his license to do so. So when you work with a qualified long-term care advisor, they're going to be able to guide you just by asking you questions that you don't even know to ask. And that's really going to simplify the process. And what we do, the first thing that you need to understand, and the biggest, most important consideration out there is your health. Meaning you need to find out what you can qualify for, and don't ever sign an application without going through a health. So if your advisor isn't really asking about your health, your medications, procedures, and really digging deep into this, don't even bother with the application, because if you get turned down, a lot of companies will say, hey, guess what? You've been turned down. You can't apply for another 2 years. Well, you run that chance within those 2 years of developing something that's going to keep you uninsurable for, you know, the future. So we always start with the health questionnaire. Figure out what you can qualify for, because each company is going to underwrite based on different standards. And as a general rule, you're going to have the asset base and you're going to have the traditional plans. And so we want to look at those different types of plans once we know what we can qualify for. So you know that, hey, if you're in perfect health, you can qualify for anything you want. Well, you decide, do I want a traditional pay-as-you-go plan, or would I rather have an asset-based plan? So those are the first things that are going to qualify for. And then that's going to divide us into the categories and the different companies that offer those different types of plans. Asset-based plans are the plans that pay you back if you don't use them. And as a general rule, they're going to be more flexible in underwriting than a traditional pay-as-you-go plan. Because a traditional pay-as-you-go plan, remember, you could take out a lifetime benefit plan, get hit by the bus tomorrow, waiver premium kicks in, you don't make any payments at all. Asset-based plans work a little bit differently because, again, a lot of the asset-based plans, a lot of people choose to fund them by just using a single lump sum of money. Well, the insurance company has that money up front. They're able to work with that money, and it lowers the risk to them. So, therefore, they're going to be a little bit more liberal on their health underwriting as a general rule for the asset-based plans. And there are some exceptions to that. I mean, there are some asset-based plans that have waiver premium that you pay into over time. But just as a general rule, your health is really going to determine your eligibility on the type of products that you can get. You then need to know, you know, when I'm designing this plan and which way to go, how am I going to pay for this plan? There's some companies out there that just have a single one-and-done payment option. That's it, some of the asset-based plans. And then you have other options where you can pay over time. And then you have the combination. I can put a deposit down and I can pay over time. And by the way, stick around at the bottom of the hour for a client of the week, because that's exactly how we're going to design a plan. We also have things like 1035 exchanges. So if you're going to plan to fund a plan using existing cash value in life insurance, or you have a deferred annuity, an indexed annuity, a fixed multi-year guaranteed annuity that's just sitting there, you can do what we call a 1035 exchange and fund that to a plan. So if that's going to be your funding source, again, that's going to kind of limit the companies that we work with, because not all the companies do that, but those are things that you would certainly want to consider. You also want to kind of consider what kind of benefit do you want, meaning do you want lifetime coverage? That's what I have personally. I have a catastrophic policy, meaning that if I go on claim tomorrow, I can be on claim for 40 years. It doesn't matter. I will never run out of my long-term care insurance. However, most of the companies out there do not offer lifetime benefits. I have one traditional and I have one asset base. Everybody else is going to have what we call a limited benefit, or just think of a limited bucket of money. So you might have a policy that would last you a minimum of 2 years or 4 years or 6 years. You would decide kind of how much coverage you want. So statistically, you can look out there and say, well, the average is this or the average is that. I'm not a big believer in averages, but that's what they, you know, they tell you. Average stay in a nursing home, average stay in assisted living, whatever it is. You have to decide how long you want your coverage to last. Then one of the big things when you're deciding on the type of plan and the type of company and who it's going to be that offers that insurance to you, where do you want to receive your care? And what I mean by that is in your home, in a facility. There are still some facility-only policies out there. Now, I will be completely honest with you. I have never written a facility-only policy. I've had one client in probably the last 8 years that has asked me to write them a facility-only policy, and I refuse to do it. And the reason why is a lot of those facilities, if you read the fine print, the definition is defined still as a nursing home. That's what they used to be. And the truth is about 3 out of 4 people start in their own home. But you have to kind of just think of, like, where are you going to most likely receive care? Do you have a big family? Are you going to be in your home? Or are you most likely going to end up going to an assisted living facility because you're single and you don't have kids? So you kind of want to think about that. Where are you going to receive care? Because then that's also going to determine what type of policy you get as far as, can I pay family members or do I just need to pay for professionals for care? Because if you do want to pay family members, you have to understand the difference between a cash or an indemnity policy and a reimbursement policy. There's 3 companies out there today that will give you 100% of your benefit in what they call indemnity, which means that once you go on claim, they just send you the full amount of money. You can hire and pay family members for that. Everything else, like the policy that I have, is reimbursement. I do not plan on having my family take care of me, so I will hire somebody. I will hire a licensed agency, or I will move into a licensed facility, and that's where the reimbursement policies are going to make the most sense. Or if you don't have, you know, if you have limited family support, because again, the cash policies don't give a lot of that kind of support, claim support, and that's something that you really need to think about when you're making a plan. What kind of claim support do you want? So when you need long-term care, who do you want to call? Do you want your family just to handle it all? Because that's really what the cash indemnity policies are. I'm going to be honest. A lot of advisors will argue with me on this. They think cash is king. I don't necessarily think that's true. Because if your house burns down and the insurance company shows up and drops a sack full of money off on your porch and says, thanks for being a client, here you go. Well, you know, that might make sense if you're a contractor or your kid's a contractor and happens to own a construction company and your other kid's an architect and they can come out and get everything designed and built up and get it going. And, oh, your third kid happens to work for the county and they understand the permitting process. Then that sack full of money might be just fine. But most of us don't have those resources. And that's the same way long-term care is. You have to understand that a lot of companies, especially the ones that give you a cash benefit, are not going to offer a lot of services outside of that. Once you trigger a claim, they're going to start sending you a check. They're going to wash their hands. They're going to walk away. It's up to you to go get that care coordination and get the case managers and make sure that you've got the right people providing the care for you. So you need to think that through when you're putting a plan in place. Also, what kind of monthly benefit do you want? Do you want a few $1,000s a month? Do you want $20,000 a month? Again, the insurance carriers are going to have some limitations. Some companies will limit you to $10,000 a month of starting benefit. One company will limit you to $9,000. I have another company that will give you $20,000 a month. Some companies will have different inflation riders, so they'll allow you to grow your policy. So you want to think about those kind of things. And then lastly, do you need a state partnership qualified plan? So what that is, again, state partnership is if I run out of my long-term care insurance, my bucket of money, so I exhaust that policy, I can now apply for Medicaid without having to spend all my assets down. So where those types of policies work the best is somebody that has a smaller estate. Maybe you just own your home and you're living off your Social Security and your pension, or you rent an apartment and you've got, you know, $150,000 in your retirement account, but you're living off of pension and Social Security. Well, that state partnership plan says, hey, get enough insurance to protect whatever liquid assets you have. And then if you run out of your insurance, you can still hang on to those liquid assets and get help from Medicaid. So those are some of the factors that we need to think about. And I think that what you really want to understand is that when we're designing a plan and we're going out, it's just like trying to buy a car. We have to look at your personal situation. And so the question of the week is, how do you know, you know, which company to work with? How do you design the best plan? Well, I can't go out there and tell you that there's one perfect car for everybody. And long-term care insurance is the same way. There is not a perfect plan that's going to fit everybody's needs. What we want to do is look at your situation, your family makeup, how you're going to fund a plan, what your resources are like, where you're going to live, where you expect to receive that care. And then we start looking at the claims ability of the company and how that all works. And so there's quite a few things that we look at. I need to take a quick break here for the news, but stick around. When I come back, I'm going to introduce you to Scott, our client of the week, and I'll show you how we set up a plan using an existing life insurance policy as part of the funding source. We'll be right back.
Long-Term Care Radio with Brian Ott, providing valuable insight to protect you in the event of an extended healthcare situation. Learn more by attending one of Brian's free live webinar classes this month. Sign up now at 525longtermcare.com. 525longtermcare.com. Are you confused about the best way to protect your family and savings? Get answers now by listening to Long-Term Care Radio with Brian Ott, certified long-term care planning specialist with 525 Advisors.
And welcome back, and thanks again for tuning in to Long-Term Care Radio on the, I guess, the end of October already. It's hard to believe. It's, holy cow, it's like ski season is coming. I hope we get a ton of snow, especially out in the west in Colorado, the Wyoming, Colorado, Montana. They all just need a really, really heavy winter this year, because I'm telling you, the west is drying out at record pace. So I hope they get that snowpack to make it a little bit easier next summer. So if you just joined us, we're going to jump into the client of the week. And that's a segment that we do every week when we bring these shows and put the podcast together. It's how did we help somebody? How did we help them design a plan and work through just what we were talking about today on how you make the decision? How do you know you're with the right company? What kind of plan do you want? So this week we had Scott, who is 53. Scott is still working full-time. He's married. They have three children between them, and the youngest just finished college. He came to us to put a plan in place because his wife had an existing plan in place, and she has coverage. Now, their concerns, number one, this is the second marriage. Scott just got married to his wife, Teresa. This is the second marriage for both of them. They've only been married for about a year at this point. He has a daughter. His wife has two children of her own that are grown, so all the kids are out of the house now. And part of their discussion before they got married was, number one, you know, they're both adults. They both had assets. How do they protect their assets? What would happen if something happens to one of them? They certainly want to be able to pass on some of the assets and the money that they had earned at this point in their life onto their family. You know, otherwise, when they're doing that estate plan, they're saying, okay, you know, I've got this, you've got that. I'd like mine to go to my kids. I understand you want yours to go to your kids. How do we protect that? How do we make that happen? And then what we move on together with and build over our next, you know, 30, 40 years is that's going to be our estate. So that was the discussion that they had. Because remember, when you are in a second marriage, and this is a key point out there for any of you that are in a second marriage, if you each brought assets to the table, whether it's IRA or real estate or whatever it is, what you have to remember is if you end up in a long-term care situation, Medicaid doesn't care. They don't look at it whose money it is. It doesn't matter if you have a prenuptial agreement or not. So a lot of people are surprised at this. So you marry somebody and then they end up having, you know, a cognitive impairment or a stroke and they end up in long-term care and you blow through their assets. Well, guess what? Medicaid says, nah, you're going to blow through your assets too, because your assets are their assets. And I don't care if you have a prenuptial agreement. I don't care if your assets were meant to go to your kids. They don't care about that. So that's something you just need to keep in mind. And also, you know, what they are also trying to avoid is, how do we keep our kids from being, you know, involved in taking care of a parent that they never really experienced, right? The kids are all gone when Scott and Teresa got married. And this is a classic example for my grandmother. My grandmother was on her third husband. I'm going to start a whole different podcast series on that, because it's she went through the men. And on the third husband, so my grandmother passed away, and then my mom had to step in and was dealing with trying to take care of him and his finances and everything. And that was one of the things that is a real life problem out there. So this was something they were just talking about. How do we protect our estates? How do we keep each other's kids from having to get involved in our lives and just make it simpler for them? So what we found out about Scott was number one, he was in great shape. So he had all options available to him, meaning we could do traditional, we could do asset-based. There were no limitations. Physically, he was just in fine shape. His wife, Teresa, had a long-term care insurance policy. We reviewed that, and we agreed that it was in her best interest to just keep that policy in place, not to try to replace it. And that was something that we looked at because a lot of times a joint policy will make sense. We can put the husband and wife on, especially with these asset-based plans. We can get lifetime coverage for two people. But she had a really good policy. You couldn't replace it for what she was paying today. You couldn't even come close to that. So just decided that, you know, in her best interest, let's just leave that policy alone and let's get Scott coverage. And by the way, out of the, you know, the 20 companies that are out there, there's only a couple companies that actually offer what they call a joint policy. So most people will end up having an individual policy in their name anyway. So it really wasn't a downside for him. Scott has, you know, some cash savings. He has a retirement account. He also has a health savings account through work, and this is key, health savings account. So that's, again, money that you can contribute to. A lot of times employers will contribute to, and you can use that money to pay for medical costs down the road. By the way, you can also use that money to pay for long-term care insurance premiums up to IRS limits every year based on your age. And those limits usually change a little bit every year, too. They just purchased a home, and they own this home free and clear. So Scott and Teresa each own property themselves. They sold that property. They combined their resources. They bought a new property. They don't have a mortgage, so they're in pretty good shape that way. Here's what he wants from a plan. Number one, he wants a buffer to protect his assets. He said, gosh, if something does happen to me, I just don't want to wither away all my assets trying to pay for care. I don't want to put my wife in a situation financially where it would be detrimental to her. So I just want to be able to protect that, my assets, my income. He would love to have the money that he puts into a plan go back to his wife or go back to his daughter if he passes away and his wife is gone. He wants to be able to get that money back, get it back to the family. He would like to have a plan where he could avoid the ongoing payments. So again, he is still working. He plans on working for about another 10 years, but he would really like to avoid having to stroke a check for a long-term care insurance plan when he's 75, if he's still, you know, healthy and going strong. He wants a plan that was flexible. And when we start talking about how do you think you'll get care? Well, in Scott's mind, he felt pretty comfortable that he would be at home. His wife and his daughter are both nurses. So he said, look, I'm surrounded by people that are going to be capable. They'll probably be involved. And I would like to be able to use them if I can. I would like to be able to pay them if I can. I don't know that that will work out. He said, maybe I end up in a facility. But ideally, if I can pay my family members, I would like that option. So that was something that was kind of important to him. He said he wanted a plan. We start talking about, okay, you have this bucket of money. How long do you need that bucket of money to last you? And he thought, you know, 4 to 5 years. He said, I don't know that I'd be in a long-term care situation that long, but I'd like probably 4 to 5 years. And this is kind of a trick question because we don't know, right? All we can do is we can look at averages, and they're going to spit this stuff out. Oh, men, 2.2 years, women, 3.2 years, whatever it is. But honestly, the average claim from an insurance point of view is about 4 years right now, meaning that on average, when somebody triggers a claim, they're going to be paying a claim for 4 years. Now, those numbers are skewed because a third of the people that trigger long-term care insurance die within that first year. The people that are really unhealthy, in bad shape, have that stroke, their body can't last a year. So the average is 4 years. Take out that third that dies within a year, and really that's going to put us closer to 5.5 years is what an average claim is if you make it a year in a long-term care. And again, I tell everybody it's in the name, long. It's not short-term care. It's long-term care. That's what we're worried about. We're worried about being in that situation where health is compromised and we need ongoing help for years because that's where it gets really expensive. But he thought, you know, 4 to 5 years would give him something, some good coverage. So here's what we did for him. Scott, again, he had all the choices, but we really decided that we're going to start by ruling out traditional pay-as-you-go plans. Those plans don't pay you back if you don't use them. I don't have any traditional plan that's going to allow you to pay family members. And there just was no, you know, there's no other value to that policy. And he had resources and other assets, so we agreed to look at the asset-based plans. What we decided to do is really Scott was looking at this. He said, number one, okay, I want to be able to pay family members. So I said, let's look at all the asset-based plans that can allow us to pay family members. We have three of them where you can pay family members with. So we looked at those plans, and we ended up settling on 6 years of coverage. And again, he thought 4 to 5 years, but really, sweet spot is 6 years, meaning most of these carriers are going to be competing around that six-year mark. I have a couple carriers that will stretch out coverage to 7 years, but on the cash indemnity plans that allow us to pay family members, 6 years is really kind of the sweet spot, meaning for just a little bit more money than a four-year plan, I can get 6 years of coverage. And so when we compared those plans, he agreed, yep, let's do it with the 6 years of coverage. Let's set that up. So this is what we decided to do. We took Scott's life insurance. Remember, he had some life insurance. And I always say life insurance. Tell me about it. Is it term? Is it whole life? Well, Scott ended up having some whole life insurance. So he had whole life insurance and he had a health savings account. Those were two things that caught my attention. Remember, when we're designing a plan, we're getting you coverage. Number two, we're trying to figure out the best way to fund that. So I said, tell me about your life insurance. Well, he had $150,000 of death benefit. He had $67,000 of cash value or surrender value. So that's the money. If I just cancel my life insurance and say I'm not paying any more premiums, I'm going to cancel and walk away, he would get $67,000. I said, let's put that to work if we can. I can still get you life insurance. You don't really need the life insurance. His daughter was gone. They own their house free and clear. He totally got that. He said, look, I'm still paying a premium on that life insurance. I don't know that I really need it, but I still have it. So what we did is we took that $67,000 and we did what we call a 1035 exchange. So we used that as a down payment and just exchanged the cash value in his existing insurance into a long-term care contract. That is a tax-free event, meaning that he doesn't have to pay any tax by pulling that $67,000 out of his life insurance plan. What this did for him is it gave him a down payment, and we set up a 10 pay. So his long-term care insurance plan is going to be paid with 10 guaranteed level payments. The first payment is that $67,000 that came from the 1035 exchange. He will then have 9 other payments starting year 2. So he'll have one annual payment right at $5,300. It's like $5,292. So I'm just going to round it off for the radio, $5,300. So after 10 years, he is going to put a total of about $115,000 into this plan, and then he's paid up. So if he stays healthy, he's 53 now. At age 63, he's going to write his last check for $5,300. His policy is completely paid up. He owns it. It's just going to continue to grow in value because we put a 3% inflation factor on that. So starting today, right now, if he goes out and gets hit by the bus, he has $360,000 in his bucket of money. He can pull out $5,000 a month. So that policy is going to last him a minimum of 6 years. But because we put that inflation rider on it, at age 72, so we go out 20 years, he's going to have $680,000 in his bucket of money, and he's going to be able to pull out $8,700 a month. At age 83, he's going to have $12,136 that he can pull out for 6 years, or a total of $942,000 of long-term care insurance. Now, remember, he's putting a total of $115,000 into this. He's going to pay the $67,000 that's going to come out of his life insurance, and then he's going to have 9 more payments of $5,300. So that's it. So as far as he knows, he's looking at, say, I'm really just paying a little over $45,000 into the plan because I'm taking that $67,000 that's in my insurance, and I'm moving it over to this other contract. So that doesn't feel like a cost to him because he still has life insurance. And this is something to understand. He's got $120,000 of death benefit starting day one. So remember, he had $150,000 on his existing policy. What we're going to do is we're going to reduce that a little bit. So he still has $120,000 of death benefit day one. But he has that $360,000 of long-term care insurance, and that's going to grow by 3% every year. Here's some of the other features for this. When he dies, even if he has used all his long-term care insurance, so, you know, go out when he's in his 80s and he burns through $900,000 of long-term care, when he passes away, his estate's still going to get a check for $24,000. This is what we call a guaranteed minimum death benefit. So he's going along today, goes out and gets hit by the bus, $120,000 is paid to the estate. He lives to be 90 and blows through $900,000 of long-term care insurance and exhausts that policy, and then he passes away, his estate's still going to get a check for $24,000. So he's guaranteed to get at least $24,000 of death benefit, even if he uses all of his long-term care insurance. So that's just a real, I call it the funeral fund. You always know you're going to get that. Other features about this policy, it's the cash or indemnity benefit. So again, that just simply means that he can use that money the way he sees fit. He can hire an agency. He can move into a facility. He can even pay a family member for it. So this is the equivalent of what we call the cash or indemnity benefit. Once you trigger a claim, you trigger it the same as any other long-term care, a cognitive impairment, or you need help with 2 out of 6 activities of daily living. So he's going to trigger it. It's a regular 7702 long-term care insurance rider on this policy. He will just start receiving the full benefit. He doesn't have to turn receipts into the insurance company. He doesn't have to prove that he spent that money. So if he's pulling out $9,000 a month, he doesn't have to prove that he's spending $9,000 a month. He gets that. So that's what the cash benefit does. It has what we call a retroactive 0-day elimination period. So what that simply means is that on a traditional plan, the standard is 90 days, meaning you pay 90 days of care and then the insurance kicks in. Well, the way this policy works is you're going to pay the first 90 days of care, but starting month 4, you're going to get a check for 4 months of benefit. So if we go out to where, you know, his, let's just round up some number and say in the future he has $10,000 a month of benefit. He goes on claim. He'll pay the first 3 months of the claim. Starting month 4, he's going to get a check for $40,000, and then every month after that, he will get a check for $10,000 until he exhausts his policy, which is going to last him a minimum of 6 years. So that's a really nice feature of this plan. And then the other thing that he gets out of this plan is, remember, that $5,300 that he's going to pay, he can pay part of that premium every year out of his health savings account. That's his choice. Why would you do that? Because those are tax-free dollars, and it does not change the long-term care benefit. So what's going to happen is every year he can go to his health savings account. This year it's $1,690, so $1,690. He can deduct that from the health savings account and pay his long-term care insurance with it. Next year it's probably going to be a little over $1,700, and they tend to creep that up a little bit every year. And it's based on your age, so it goes a block of age, like 40 to 50, 50 to 60, 60 to 70. And then the IRS adjusts that every year a little bit for inflation. So he'll be able to deduct that if he wants to. So really, really net effect. And he's saving the premium that he's paying on his existing life insurance. This is just a really, really sweet plan for him. It's a growing benefit. It's going to continue to compound. And the great thing about this, he's guaranteed to get more money back than he puts into his plan, regardless of the outcome, whether he needs it or not. And by the way, when he makes his final payment at year 10, his cash value is $114,922. That's how much he paid in total premiums between that $67,000 that went in out of his insurance and those 9 payments of $5,292. He'll put in $114,922. That's his surrender value at year 11 and beyond. So again, win, lose, or draw. If something changes, something, you know, he needs that money back after year 10, after he's made his payments, he gets 100% of the premium returned to him. So there's always value in that policy. So again, a great policy, a great fit for him, and a unique funding option that's going to make a lot of sense for him. So again, that's what's wonderful about putting these plans together. I've got to come up for air, take a final break. Stick around. We'll be right back.
New asset-based programs protect your savings and your family, and even pay you back if you never use them. Make sure your care is funded and managed in a time of need. Learn more and sign up for one of Brian's free live webinar classes at 525longtermcare.com.
I've told you about how my wife and I first started working with Brian Ott and 525 Advisors. Many years ago, a retirement planner said that we were in pretty good shape, except we did not have long-term care coverage. I didn't really even know much about it at the time, but we started doing some research, and we found out the best person in our region, Brian Ott, 525 Advisors, he's also the best in the country. And it's not just me saying that. For the 5th year in a row, Brian has received the award as the top advisor in the country for long-term care plans with lifetime benefits. And Brian says he couldn't do it without my listeners, because you get it, and you know how to take care of your family. Long-term care planning is about protecting the people you care about, and the government is not going to do it for you. That's why my wife and I put a plan in place with Brian. If we get lucky and don't need it, our plan will pay our estate back. Get the peace of mind knowing your family's protected. Contact my friends at 525 Advisors and work with the best. Find out more at 525-LongTermCare.com, 525-LongTermCare.com.
The fact is most of us have known somebody who needed long-term care. That's when a person reaches a stage in life requiring somebody else to help with basic daily activities due to physical conditions or a cognitive disease. Now, most of the time, long-term care starts in the home, which allows the individual to stay in a familiar setting. The price for long-term care can be expensive, and it could go on for years. Financial experts suggest purchasing long-term care insurance before you retire. Why? Because 7 out of 10 65-year-olds will need some sort of long-term care in the future. If you've never looked at long-term care insurance because you didn't know where to start, now you know where to start with 525 Advisors. 525 Advisors, local experts specializing in long-term care insurance, and they have plans that are guaranteed to pay you back if you never make use of them. Protect yourself and your family members from the financial cost of extended health care. Go to 525longtermcare.com.
Sign up for the next free long-term care live webinar with Brian Ott. Go to 525longtermcare.com.
Staying in control of your care options is a better alternative than letting the government decide for you. Welcome back to Long-Term Care Radio with Brian Ott, certified long-term care planning specialist with 525 Advisors.
All right, and welcome back to Long-Term Care Radio. And again, thanks for tuning in. You heard the ads. The classes are coming up. Again, that's through our website, 525longtermcare.com. You hear me always talking about those. Again, just sign up for a class. We believe in starting with education. That's why we do the show. We have a lot of information on our website. And when you're ready to just kind of find out a little bit more, come to one of those live webinars. You can get your questions answered, and we'll kind of hope you understand what the process is and how we work on trying to find plans. And by the way, you know, we were talking about the importance of understanding some of the questions, what you want to look for in a company. I will just tell you, I'm very passionate about this. There are a handful of companies out there that I will not sell. Not that I can't sell them. It's just that I won't sell them because I've read the shareholder minutes on them. I understand the company, or I've dealt with them on claim before. And that is something that I think that if you're working or you're looking at long-term care insurance and your advisor can't answer those questions about the different types of companies, you should probably move on and find somebody that can. Because again, a lot of long-term care insurance policies, you're going to buy these policies. If you're paying into them over time, you might pay into them for years. It's going to be some paperwork set in a filing cabinet. You want that policy to work. And for me, I will just tell you what's important to me. The most important thing is when I need something, I call that 800 number. It's like, how are they going to treat me? How are they actually going to handle the claim? A lot of people just look at it simply as a money deal. Well, you got to be aware of the downsides of that too. So like our client of the week, Scott, he's got a wife that's a nurse and he's got a daughter that's a nurse. So he feels pretty comfortable. The thing you have to remember about a cash indemnity benefit is the insurance company is kind of putting their hands up in the air and saying, look, thank you for being a customer. Here's your check. And they're walking away. So you have to have that support staff around you. So if you're a single person or a single person that has a cognitive impairment, cash indemnity plans can be a nightmare because that money is just rolling in and there's no checks and balances on the back end of that. And what you need to understand is companies all handle those claims differently. If we go to a reimbursement, that means there's going to be some kind of claim support there. Yes, receipts have to go to the insurance company, but you're not providing those receipts. It's the people that are providing the care are providing those receipts. And one of the things I learned early in my career is what type of insurance company am I working with? And I'm going through this right now with my homeowner's insurance. I got to be honest with you. It's like homeowner's insurance and auto insurance. Any of you that are on renewal, we're starting to see really some large increases the last year. Some companies raising rates as high as 60-70%. You know, the cost of fixing a car is through the roof. You see all the hurricane destruction. You see all this stuff that's going on out there in the market with inflation. We're starting to feel that. Well, some companies are better managed than others. And what you really want to understand also is what is the profit motive for the insurance company? Meaning, are they making profits for Wall Street, or are they just trying to make profits to better the policy and the lives of their policyholders who own the company? And that boils down to, is it a stock company? Is it a mutual company? A stock company, Transamerica, Genworth, John Hancock, Not saying these are bad companies, but these are companies that are all really struggling on the long-term care side. Genworth is still in it, but they've been raising rates like mad, and they're trying to get their stock price up because their number one duty is to their shareholders. A mutually owned company, a mutual insurance company, means that you own it as a client. It's in the mutual interest of the policyholders. So they're not worried about the guy, the analyst on Wall Street calling them saying, what are you going to turn in this quarter? They don't even worry about that. What they're worried about is providing a good product. Most of these, and again, not all mutual companies are managed the same, but again, the clients own the company. And I love that model. I think in insurance, it is hard to argue with that. Even in life insurance, you know, if you're just looking at cheap term insurance, maybe not. But if you're looking at permanent whole life insurance, you're looking at something at long-term care, you really want to understand how that company is formed and what they're actually providing for their clients and where their priorities are. Because something on long-term care insurance is different than death insurance. Death insurance, you go out, you get hit by the bus, you die. Okay, you got to fill out some paperwork, whatever hoops they make you jump through, send in some death certificates, all those things. You're going to get a check and they're done. But long-term care, imagine being in a long-term care situation for 5 or 6 years and you start out at your own home and then you move to an assisted living facility. And then after a while, that assisted living facility says, look, your scope of care is beyond what we can provide. You need to move to a memory clinic. Well, that's where that claim support comes in. You've got the professionals there that can help you and your family make those transitions. They can also understand the bills when they come in and make sure that someone's not overcharging you. There's some checks and balances on there. And a lot of these mutual companies are going to provide concierge-level claim support, meaning they assign somebody to you and your family so you have one person to contact. You need to weigh that because, again, insurance is only important when you need it. So it's another factor you really want to look at. Is it a stock company? It is a mutual company. And my personal preference, if I can work with a mutual company, I'm going to try to work with a mutual company. We don't always get to, but if we can, we do. So you've burned another hour with this. We appreciate your interest. I'm going to get to work. I'll be back next week with another new show. And again, sign up for one of our classes coming up here. We're rolling into November. You can get all that information and more at 525longtermcare.com. Thanks again. We'll be back next week.
You've been listening to Long-Term Care Radio with certified long-term care planning specialist, Brian Ott. You can download and subscribe to the podcast at 525longtermcare.com and learn about all the long-term care planning options available. If you have questions for Brian or would like information about any of his upcoming long-term care webinars, go to 525longtermcare.com. Be sure to join us next weekend for another edition of Long-Term Care Radio with Brian Ott. For information, show schedules, and podcasts, go to 525longtermcare.com.
The issue of long-term care is so important, a lot of states like Washington are seeking to pass laws requiring payroll deductions to fund it. But the reality is, the state's solution is simply a drop in the bucket that will not provide meaningful protection for you or your family. 525 Advisors can provide meaningful coverage through new plans with guaranteed leverage that turn every dollar into at least $3 of long-term care coverage tax-free. And you get your money back if you never use it, just like the custom plan my wife and I got. Join Brian Ott from 525 Advisors for an upcoming free live webinar. Learn how repositioning some of your savings is a secure way to triple your money today to pay for the high cost of long-term care. Like the state, we agree long-term care is a serious issue, but don't settle for the government's flawed plan. Learn your own options. Attend an upcoming 525 Advisors free live webinar. For the schedule, go to 525longtermcare.com. That's 525longtermcare.com.